hope that you've had a good day today, and it's a blessing to be here tonight with each other. And I know what you meant, Kyle, when you said, we'll sing one more song and Jonathan will take over, but I'm not taking over. Let's let Jesus take over and His Holy Spirit take over our lives. Let's pray as we start our study. Would you bow with me? Our Father, our God, our Savior, we do love You too. And we love You because Your blood did run red. And our sins were washed white as a result. But we acknowledge to You, Father, that oftentimes in this life we fret because of the evils around us in this world. And sometimes we can even in our sinful ways be envious of those that do wrong around us. But help us, Father, to remember that we are all like grass that springs up and then soon withers away. And so, Father, help us to measure our lives, to count our days, and to realize, Father, that we have been placed here for a purpose, and that purpose is You. So we need, Father, You to take over, to control our lives and our hearts, and grow us and make us after the measure of Your image and Your will, that we might more fully every day as we grow in this Christian walk, trust more in You and in the goodness of Your plan and purpose for us. We want to dwell safely in Your pastures and take full delight in You and You alone. Because, Father, we know that there are many things that war after the desires of our heart, and I pray that You would control those desires. Help us to commit our ways to You, to trust in You and do Your will. Because we know, Father, that when we do that, that the reward is that we will shine like the dawn, like the brightness of the new day sun. And so we still are busy and restless souls before You, and we wait patiently for You. Help us not to fret, but help us to commit our spirits to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone says, Amen. Okay, so we are continuing to a series of teaching on Sunday nights about soul keeping. And tonight is part number 4 in that series. And really, what I want to share with you about your soul tonight is what your soul most desperately needs, and mine too. It is really sobering to consider the fact that every single one of us, as the Scripture has said, is just like grass. We're here today and whew, gone tomorrow. Scripture is very plain, very direct, very honest about that fact. Over and over again, from the psalm that we prayed as we begin tonight, from Psalm 37, it reminds us of that truth. It's found throughout the Old Testament. Peter repeats it in 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, that we're like grass. We're here today and then gone tomorrow. So in that way, we're like that plant that grows all over the surface of this planet. But there's a way in which we're different than grass. Because the grass doesn't know that it's here today and gone tomorrow. And you do. And that is because God has set eternity in our hearts. We mentioned that last week from the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11. The human soul, what does it mean to say God has placed eternity in our hearts? That is to say that the human soul has built-in radar for eternity. We know intuitively, we know that we were made for something more. And we, many of us, search a lifetime trying to figure out what that is. We search in vain, looking in all the wrong places, when all along the answer lies within, whereas that radar continues to go off within our hearts, within our souls, that is directing us towards something greater than us. And there are moments in life whenever we hear eternity's call rather crisply and clearly. When you lose a loved one and you're at the funeral home, you hear eternity's call sharply. When you go through a time of tremendous heartache or grief, you hear the call of the unending ages in your heart. And yet, we find ways to busy ourselves, to fret about all these different things in life in a way to try to suppress that aching call within. And yet, it remains. The truth is that every single human being, you know what we are? We are unceasing spiritual beings with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. God put His eternal radar inside of us so that we would always be dissatisfied and restless with this life alone. He put that inside of us to drive us to the greater reality of why we were created. And that is, and that's the title of tonight's thoughts, the soul was made for God. And because your soul was made for God, your soul needs God. With mere words, God created a beautiful landscape. And He realized there was a being that needed to be made to tend His creation. And so God, in His wisdom and His power, and in His great compassion and drive to love, created male and female after His own image and likeness. And He set them in the garden to tend it. The first human souls were created by God and placed in that garden. But the reason they were placed in the garden was not so much about the trees and the animals that were also there. The garden was all about being in the presence of God, walking with God in the cool of the day. These human beings were made, these souls made to walk with God. And we also learn from that Eden story that the soul is restless outside of Eden. The soul is restless when we descend into sin and we hide ourselves from our Maker, suppressing that eternal radar inside of us. We're no longer in the garden, and yet God relentlessly pursues the human soul. "Where are you?" He asked. Where are you? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. God was with Abraham. The Lord was with Joseph in his slavery and in the prison cell. Moses spoke to the Lord face to face like a man speaks with his friend. Our souls left the garden, but God came chasing after. He came chasing after human souls in painful and even difficult places, because that is what our souls most need, to simply be with God. Leaving the upper room, Jesus knows where he's headed. Following behind him, his closest followers, at least all but one. And on the way to a garden where he would pray, they pass through the Kidron Ravine. And along the way, Jesus has a message for them. Abide in me. Like a branch connected to the vine, be with me. Be in me, and I in you. Simply being with God is what our souls cry out for. The soul, it longs for Eden. But it doesn't long for the paradise fruits. It longs for the person who abides there. But how can we make sure that our soul is abiding with God? I think it starts with what I would call a garden awareness. How many moments during the day can I fill my conscious awareness with God and surrender to His presence? That, I think, should be the goal of every Christian throughout the day. How many times can I yet again bring my mind, my soul, my awareness into a garden awareness of presence before God? The position of the soul in the garden of God's presence. The soul's connection to God, that is not found by going to a temple. Standing in the shadow of a grand temple in Athens, Paul the Apostle makes it abundantly clear. God does not dwell in temples made by human hands, for it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. We don't go to a temple or a building to access the presence of God. We can be in His presence at any moment, at any time. And that has been made possible for us because of Jesus our Lord. In his book, Soul Keeping, John Ortberg says this on pages 121 and 122. He calls it the with God life. The with God life is not a life of more religious activity or devotions or trying to be good. The with God life is a life of inner peace and contentment for your soul with the Maker and the Manager of the universe. God wants to make every moment of my life glorious with His presence. That's the whole point of tending the soul. To fill us so completely with His presence that the brilliance of His love shines through us. Now, lest you think that that is just grandiose language by some uninspired person in some book that Jonathan read, let me share with you something from Holy Scripture that points us to that same truth in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, listen to the prayer that Paul prays for these early believers, and I think is one that we should pray today for us as well. Begin at verse 16, Ephesians 3. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be fit, get this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I don't know if it hits you just how dramatic that prayer is. I'm in the process right now of which this may or may not ever see the light of day, so I make no promises, but I'm in the midst of writing a book on the Holy Spirit. And in one of the chapters, I explore this prayer from the Apostle Paul. And as I was doing some research to write the chapter, I came across this one commentator who made this statement, and I think he's exactly right, that this prayer right here in Romans 3 is the boldest prayer ever prayed. Now, why would that author say, why would that commentator say, this is the boldest prayer ever prayed? Because the thing Paul is praying for these believers, is that they would not only have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, that Christ would dwell in them by faith, and not only would He strengthen them with the same strength and power that rose Jesus from the dead would dwell inside of us. That's pretty big. But beyond that, he says, I pray to the point that you would have a comprehension of the grand magnitude of God's love for you, the height, the width, the depth, I mean all the dimensions of the magnitude of God's love, to the point that you would be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Listen to that, the fullness of God. He is actually praying that believers would come to have the fullness of who God is dwelling inside of them. That's the boldest prayer ever prayed. That is extremely bold. And what are we talking about? We're talking about, this is what the soul needs, is to be with God. Not more religious activities or devotions or just trying to be good, work your way to heaven. That's not what you need. What you need is to abide with God. Not just going to a temple, but in Him, living and moving and having your being, and throughout the day, surrendering your thoughts once more to Him again, having a garden awareness. In the moments of the day, the small moments, the big moments, once again, redirecting, tapping into the radar for eternity and basking in the presence of God and connecting with Him and being filled with the goodness and the fullness of who He is. And let that be the driving force and the empowerment that absolutely propels and defines you as a human being. Ortberg goes on. He says, many Christians, boy, this is really good. I'll go slow. I want it to sink in. Many Christians expend so much energy and worry trying not to sin. The goal is not to try and sin less. In all your efforts to keep from sinning, what are you focusing on? Sin. God doesn't want you to focus on sin. He wants you to focus on Him, to be with Him. Abide in me. Just relax and learn to enjoy His presence. An early church leader once said, and a lot of people have misunderstood what he was getting at and tried to make him say something he wasn't intending to say, but an early church leader once said, love God and do what you will. That if you really love God and you abide with Him, then do whatever you want to do. Now see, some people would interpret that and say, well, that means, well, if I say I love God, then I can just live in sin or live and do pursue anything. No. If you really love God, you would only pursue the heart of God. You would only pursue things that are in God's will if you truly love God with everything. So if you love God, then do what you will. Relax and enjoy the bounty and the beauty of what you were made to be. and stop fretting. You see, the key is the connection. The key is not focused on, am I bearing fruit, John 15, but instead, focus on the connection of the vine and the branch, and the fruit takes care of itself. The psalmist put it this way, I don't know about you, some of you, I talked to Terry about this, and some others of you. Every time I read the Psalms, I fall in love with it all over again. The Psalms are just so rich and beautiful, and there's always just new treasures that are hiding there that somehow I missed the last time, and it was always there. Here's one of those treasures. Psalm 16 in verse 8 says this, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Going back a few lessons, you know, I shared with you, I guess last week, the sentence, one commentator says the greatest sentence, one of the greatest sentences ever written by Augustine, that the human soul is continually restless. We were made for God, but our souls are restless until they find their rest in God. Our souls are continually restless. You see, the soul was made for God, and when you realize that and you've got that eternity set in your heart and that radar is going off, then the way to find fulfillment and purpose for the way that you were made is every day throughout the day, as many times as possible, once again, in the middle of work, in the middle of tasks that you're doing, doing laundry, doing dishes, answering phone calls, throughout the day, try to find small little moments. It may only be 5 seconds, but small little moments where you once again, I always set the Lord before me. I always set the Lord before me. I always set the Lord before me. You see, the difference between somebody that claims to be a Christian and is a consumer Christian, a cultural Christian, and somebody who is really a disciple of Jesus, this is the difference. Because you can go to church and set the Lord before you for 1 hour a week and then go about your business and you're not a disciple. The disciple is the person that every day throughout the day, I set the Lord before me. I set the Lord before me. I set the Lord before me. I don't need a temple for that. This is my temple. The body, the human body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't go to a temple to encounter the presence of God. The presence of God is living in the temple, and guess what? I am the temple, and He's always right here. And I continually bring and be filled with His presence and an awareness of His presence. Psalm 16:8, I set the Lord always before me. I have to capture my thoughts because my thoughts stray. We are fallen creatures, and although we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, according to Romans chapter 7, and we know it true experientially, we also have sin continually indwelling us too. So thank God that He gave us the Holy Spirit in the place that we need Him the most. In the very place where sin indwells us, He gives us the Holy Spirit. And so my fallenness, my mind and my heart stray from that. And so I have to daily take up my cross and follow Him daily. I have to continue moment by moment to set the Lord before me, to resist these straying thoughts of where these thoughts and desires that are away from the Lord. I have to capture them, as Paul would say. Capture and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, setting an awareness of God before me once again. In the small moments of life, in the everyday moments of life, I have to continually bring my awareness back to the garden of God's presence, back to the soul's true home. The moment when I realize my self-centeredness, in that moment, I have to surrender my thoughts back to God and enjoy His presence again, over and over and over again. The home of the soul. I hope I'm not going to disrupt maybe some comfortable theology that is embedded in your heart right now from years and years of singing and teaching. But the home of the soul is not heaven. The home of the soul is God Himself. So let's right now agree. Would you agree with me? To make a decision to cast out of our minds this thinking that I have to just get through the prison of this life and all of the challenges that it brings, and I'm holding my breath that one day my soul will finally go to the home of the soul and I'll finally get to heaven. And instead realize that the home of the soul is not something I wait for in the sweet by and by one day. The home of the soul is right now, right here, just as available to me as it will be then, although it will be in much greater awareness and magnitude. But right now, the home, the soul can find its true home in God and being connected to Him and abiding with Him. Any moment of your life can be a heavenly oasis of the soul. But you must set the Lord always before you and come to the garden where you walk and talk with Him and He calls you His own. Capture your thoughts and set the Lord before your soul. Let me just close with, I want to close with a quote. I know we sometimes, some of you probably like get weirded out or you want to roll your eyes at me or whatever, that's fine. But that could happen anytime that I mention to you some resource that's helpful outside of the Bible. But there are, we've got 2,000 plus years of Christian history to draw from. And rich insights from Christians that have been living the Christian life. And I think there's great insight to be found that can help us understand Scripture better and help us understand the Christian life better. And sometimes it comes from unexpected and unlikely places, in fact. I've mentioned this before. Do yourself a favor if you want to really enrich your spiritual life. You can get online and it's absolutely free. It's public domain. But there's an old book that was written by a monk who lived in France. And this guy wanted to devote his life to God, and he did it by going to a monastery and basically was a cook. And he just cooked. And while he was in just the mundane, everyday moments of life, he went about the task of saying, I'm going to go on a journey of trying to see how many times during the day when I'm just cooking or doing whatever, doing menial tasks, to bring the Lord before my presence. Like, he challenged himself. It's like, could I do it once an hour? Could I do it twice an hour? Could I do it once every 15 minutes? He tried to develop not like a legalistic robotic thing about it, but like a constant trying to get in the pattern of being aware of God's presence and abiding with the Lord. And he wrote a book about it. His writings were collected and turned into a book. It's had different titles, but basically it's either called The Practice of the Presence of God or Practicing the Presence of God or something of that nature. And you can find it online. It's a marvelous, marvelous book. And in that book, I want to close with a quote of what he says. He says, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in His divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with Him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. I believe he has captured this idea of setting the Lord always before me. He's captured the words of Jesus in John 15, abide in me and I abide in you, and we will come and make our abode in you, the Father and I, Jesus would say. Now, please don't understand this lesson to be some kind of dutiful, legalistic, burdensome kind of thing. It's more of delighting in who God is and repositioning the way you view life where that you realize it is in Him we live and move and have our being. Why? Because you can try anything else you want to, but it will leave you empty. It's like digging empty cisterns, in the words of Jeremiah the prophet, while right before you, available at your fingertips, is a living water that will never dry up, that will permanently quench your thirst, the thirst of the soul. And that is, your soul was made for God. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. If there's anything that we can do for you to help you in trying to pursue a better understanding of what God has done for you through Jesus Christ and how that you might enrich your spiritual walk with Him, we would love to do anything we can to try to help you explore that. Maybe that's by looking in the Word together. Maybe that's by praying together. Maybe that's just by sitting down together and talking about life together and what life is really all about. Or maybe you're ready to give your life fully to Jesus and become His disciple. If we can help you in pursuing any of those things, we want to do so. And you can just come talk with us as we all stand and as we sing.